And there's peace in knowing that Jesus knows what he's doing with your life, even when you don't. But you might think, well, I know what I'm doing with my life, and why would God do this to me? I don't have all the answers to why, but I have all the answers to who.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is A Fruitful Walk and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about a fruitful walk. A fruitful walk. What do I mean? Well, listen, the Bible talks about fruits, right? That every Christian is to bear. These fruits are not gifts. I'm not talking about gifts. Everybody has a gift in here, I believe. And the fruits are actually a characteristic that identifies you as a Christian. And these fruits are necessary. So let's please stand for the reading of God's holy word and turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. I'll be reading now the New International Version today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Okay, listen, why we need spiritual fruits? Fruits identify us as Christians. Don't you want to be known for what you believe? If you believe something, shouldn't people see it in your life? Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So you know, lots of people come up to you and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a good person. I'm a nice guy. You can trust me. Can you believe that? How many of you heard that and it turned out to be the exact opposite of that person? But now listen, Jesus is speaking here when he says this, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now, we just went through the fruits, right? Now, what are the fruits? We're talking about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ask yourself, do I have love or do I just love myself? Do I have joy? Not talking about happiness. Talk about joy from within, the joy of the Lord. Do I have peace? When people come to me, am I a peaceful person? Okay. Do I have patience? Do I want it now? Do I constantly worry about what's going on in my life because I don't have patience to wait on the Lord? Am I a kind person? Am I kind? Is there goodness coming out of your life? Just goodness. And I mean even to your enemies, to the people who've done you wrong. Are you good to them? Or do you sink to their level? Well, I ain't talking to them because they ain't talking to me. I ain't helping them because they ain't helping me. Are you a faithful person? Can people count on you? Can people count on you when the going gets tough or only when the going is good? Do you tell somebody you're going to do something and then back out of your word? Don't call them up to touch base with them? Ask yourself, am I that way? Are you gentle? When you get upset about something, does it come out of your mouth that you're upset? Do you yell and scream at people? Do you treat them wrong because you're having a bad day? Do you have self-control? Do things get you mad and you just can't stand it? And you get so mad and then you do something and then your excuse is, I couldn't help myself. I was just so mad. These are fruits that God wants us to bear in our lives. Fruits mature us spiritually. Fruits mature us spiritually. Listen, you can read the Bible and you can pray and you can come to church. But listen, if you're not submitting to God, if you are not giving your life over to Him, guess what? You're not maturing. You're not maturing. But there's good news, because God likes to grow fruit in His children. And if we will not submit to Him willingly, then the circumstances brought on by our disobedience, they'll grow the fruits in us, won't they? Because you all know that you've done something wrong somewhere in your life, and you found yourself into a situation you didn't like, and you learned patience that way. You learned to be gentle that way. You learned self-control that way. It would have been easier doing it God's way, but you wanted it to do it your way. One way or another, a Christian's going to be matured by God. The easy way or the hard way. Fruits enable us to do good works for God. You got to have these fruits in your life before you can pass them on to others. I cannot give you what I don't have. Amen? And I cannot use what I don't have. So I got to have these fruits in order to serve the Lord. What if I, Pastor, was impatient with you guys? How would that make you feel about coming here to church? What if I wasn't faithful? What if I said, you know, this is my Sunday and I want a day off? Other people get a day off. I see a lot of empty seats here today. I think I'm going to leave. That's not being faithful, is it? Okay. Spiritual fruits benefit fellow man. They're not just for you. They're not just for you. God's got a plan to use you for other people. But they also benefit yourself. Okay? And guess what? That equals results. So let's go through this. Fellow man. Love. Agape love. Anybody know what agape love is? That's love in action. Don't just say, oh man, I love you. Man, you love me. You didn't give me a ride to work. Agape love is love in action. That's the Greek word. And that's what it means when we read John 3:16, for God so loved, agape'd, okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have what? Eternal life. That's agape love. God had to do something to express His love to you. What if He just said, well, I love you, but you're on your own? Man, there'd be some hard times for the Christians, wouldn't there? Wouldn't it be? John 13:35 says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. People come here as our guests, and we have some today, first-time guests. Do they know that we love one another? Can they see that in our actions? When guests come here, they need to know that we are disciples of Christ because of the love we extend to one another. This is how people will know that we are followers of Christ. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, they got something different than the church down the road. They got something different than the people at work. They got something different than my so-called friends. The difference is they're loving one another, not just lip service. No, you want somebody to express that love to you, right? You want somebody to be there for you in hard times and to share the good times with. So we extend this love, this fruit of love, to fellow man. Even to our enemies. Even to our enemies. Because that's where it counts the most. Because if our enemy is really wrong in what they're doing to us, don't they need more prayer? Don't they need more love to lift them up while they're pushing us down? Doesn't that make us stronger when we can stand in love when they're standing in hate? Patience. Patience is all about waiting when you don't want to. And the majority of people don't like to wait. But it benefits our fellow man when we're patient with them. Patience. It's persevering. God is patient. Listen, 2 Peter 3:9. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, you know before you were saved that God was patient with you. Because if He was impatient with you, He would have zapped you dead right where you stood. And you know as well as I do that we all have done something that God should have got us for. But He was patient with us. given us time to repent. You ever see evil, vile, wicked people get away with everything? And you think, where's the justice in that? God, get them. You know you said that in your heart. Get them, God. Get them. Look what they're doing to me. And if you open your heart in those moments of wrongful prayer, you'll hear God say, was I not patient with you when you were being evil? When you were a sinner before you asked me to save you, was I not patient with you? And now you want to strike down someone else for their trespass because you're not patient to wait on them to come to the Lord. Patience. Thank God he is patient. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, what are we? God's chosen people, right? Holy and dearly loved. Look at your neighbor and say, God dearly loves me. I'm loved by the Almighty God. Now listen, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself, wrap yourself up in it. Let that be your life. Amen. Gentleness. Gentleness. Christ is gentle. He was gentle with me. When I deserved his wrath, he was gentle with me. Matthew 11:29 reads, take my yoke. Now this is Christ speaking. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, there's some people you just can't talk to because they're not gentle. You try to come up to them and say something to them, and they go off on you. But then you go to Christ, and you start praying to the Lord, and then you feel that peace that surpasses all understanding, and you just know that his gentle touch is there in your lonely hours of despair when there is nobody around. And even if they were around, they wouldn't understand what you're going through. They don't know you. They don't know what's going on in your life. They don't understand you. They don't even want to understand you. They don't care. But there's Jesus accepting you as one of his children, holding you with gentleness and love and speaking to you in prayer and in his word with love and gentleness. Even when you're wrong, even when you're out of line, God comes to you with love and gentleness to set you on the right track. Amen? This is the way we're to be. This is the way we're to be. If somebody misses church, we don't hog tie them and drag them in. Gentleness. We got to be gentle. Well, what about goodness? What about goodness? Are we good to people? Are we just good to those that we can get something out of? Or just good to those that we like? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 reads, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Goodness. Goodness. Do something good for somebody today and every day. Do something good. Do something good for your enemy. Do something good for people that don't even like you. It'll change you. Kindness. We are to be kind to each other. Ephesians 4:32 reads, be kind and compassionate to one another. Be a nice person. Be a pleasant person. Be somebody that you can, listen, people want to be able to approach you. They want to feel comfortable around you. Self-control. This is a big one. You know, self-control is to hold oneself in. Do you guys have self-control? Do you have self-control to turn the TV channel when you know you're not supposed to be watching something? Do you have self-control not to be getting into the middle of a gossiping situation when you know people are talking about somebody that's not there, spreading rumors? Do you have self-control of what comes out of your mouth when you get angry? Or do you just shout things out that shouldn't come out? Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, if everyone would come after me, or if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's hard to get up and say, I'm going to deny myself sleep and come to church. It's hard to pick up this Bible and say, I'm going to read it every single day. I'm going to read it every day. Because this Bible is your mirror. This Bible reflects back to you what God wants out of you. This is your mirror. This is your mirror. Study it, and you'll learn a lot about yourself. Some of it can be really scary, too. Some of it can be really scary. Self-control. Self-control. Should I be hanging out with this crowd right now, even though I'm enjoying their company? Should I be watching this television program that's blaspheming the name of the Lord? But I like the show so much. Surely God understands that it's just a show. Or do we have self-control and we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross daily and we follow him? The flesh is against the spirit. The world is against the spirit. Our minds are against the spirit. We have to renew our mind and deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily and follow him. Because when you start following your own plans, it's going to lead to death and destruction eventually. It is. It is. Because the flesh does not want what the spirit wants. And the spirit does not want what the flesh wants. They're in constant conflict. So you have to get yourself in sync with God through Jesus Christ. Paul practiced self-control. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, he reads, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You could go around telling people how to live their life and you could be lost. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Don't you hate it when somebody comes up to you and they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing and they're getting on you about the same thing? But they're making sense, aren't they? They're giving you good sound advice, but they're still living the wrong way, correcting you. And maybe you get straight, but they're still in the sin. They're still messed up. Paul was talking about this. Paul said, I beat my body and make it my slave. Listen, the only person you need to control is you. You don't need to control your mom. You don't need to control your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your co-workers. You need to control yourself. This is who needs to come into check. Oh, they made me so mad. No, they didn't. That's your emotion. I can't make you feel anything that you don't surrender over to me. You just frustrate me. No, I didn't frustrate you. You allowed yourself to get frustrated. Self-control. Self-control. We need it. We need it. Because this benefits self. This benefits self. Now we're getting to the results. Joy. That's a fruit, right? You want joy? You got to have the other fruits I just mentioned. What is joy? Spiritual delight in Christ equals joy. I got the joy of the Lord. I love Jesus. And because of that, he fills me with joy because I have a connection with him that nobody can take away. Can't have this. And you know what? This joy is not reliant upon what I have or who I know outside of Jesus Christ. He's all I need. He's all I want. And when he comes back to take his church up, this is what he's going to give us. He's going to give us himself. So if you're not in alignment with wanting to be with Jesus, if you're not spending time with him right now in his word, if you're not spending time with him right now in prayer, if you're not coming to church faithfully to worship him and to learn from his word, maybe you should check your relationship. Because try this with your spouse. Try talking to your spouse once a week or once every other week and see how that relationship goes south. But see, when Jesus comes back, he's going to take the people that want to be with him. I don't want friends I have to drag along, do you? I don't want people that says, I really like you, James, but I'm not going to spend any time with you. That hurts my feelings. I got feelings. I want people to spend time with me if they like me. You ever had that friend, they say they like you and you keep calling them and they never answer? But when they need something, they got your number. I think we all have a friend like that. Luke 1:47, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, I'm not going to hell. Thank you, God, for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, God, for being here with me right here, right now in my moment of need where everybody else left me. Nobody else cares. Nobody else is even calling to check on me. I'm alone, but I'm not alone. My Jesus is with me. Joy. Nehemiah 8:10. Listen to this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But see, people want to steal your joy. The devil wants to steal your joy. Why? It's your strength. You come to church and you get filled with the word of God and the teachings of God and worshiping. And guess what happens? You get more powerful. And the devil don't want to see that. So he comes along and he tries to do something with your materialistic things to steal your joy. So he can enslave you to sin. Because sin brings destruction. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he's a murderer. But listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is your weapon against him. If you don't want the devil to come in, you better get into church. You better get into the word. You better get into prayer. You better get into fellowship and have Christian people around you. Peace is another result. Peace. Who wants peace in here? Who wants peace even when the storm is around them? We're not talking about worldly peace. We're talking about things are happening, but they're not happening in you. They're happening around you. The storm can't get in. That kind of peace. Christ is our peace. Not that big paycheck you've been waiting on. Not that lottery ticket that you shouldn't be buying. And he, listen, Isaiah 9:6, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wow. Prince of Peace. When things are happening that nobody can help you with, when troubles are hitting at your door that nobody can understand, when people are blaming you for the hardships that you're going through and you're innocent, but you're still being accused, when nobody will be your peace, you call out to God. When people are judging you, and all you want is an ear to cry to, and nobody wants to listen, and your false friends have left you, you got the peace from Jesus Christ that will never leave nor forsake you. But guess what else? That peace is within you, and you see someone else that's going through a storm, and you talk with them, and you pray with them, and you share the word of God with them, and you invite them to church, and guess what? They feel the peace of Christ around you. They say there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but there's a peace about you. There's a peace. And I just want to get that for myself. How do I get that? You put your joy into the Lord, and he will give you that peace. Oh, how I love Jesus. Christ, Philippians 4:7, his peace transcends all understanding. You can't understand this peace. You don't get it. You don't comprehend it. You just know that the world is falling apart. Your friends are falling apart. Your family's falling apart. Your finances are falling all apart. Your life is falling all apart, and people are looking at you, and you're like a rock. The storm doesn't move you, and they're like, what is wrong with you? Your world is falling apart. How can you just be standing there? I'm praying. I'm praying because the one thing that's not falling apart is God. But people, they get into a crisis and they start calling people on the phone instead of running to the Lord's throne. And they start saying things, oh, would you can't believe what just happened to me. Man, let me tell you what, whatever's happening in your life, it did not take God by surprise. God saw it coming before creation was made. He knows the very number of the hairs on your head. God is not surprised by your circumstances. Don't think because you just heard about it that it's too late for God to do something about it. Amen? That's where your peace comes from. It's not what you know or when you knew it, but who you know and who's with you. You know you got Jesus, and anything that comes into your life has to get through him first. It has to get through him. He's not going to let it into your life unless he deems it his will. And if it's happening to you, then it's his will. And there's peace in knowing that Jesus knows what he's doing with your life, even when you don't. But you might think, well, I know what I'm doing with my life. And why would God do this to me? I don't have all the answers to why, but I have all the answers to who. Because they're in here. They're in this book. And many great people have suffered many great things for the name of the Lord, but they did one thing that we must do. Persevere. Persevere. Amen. Faithfulness. This is another result. Listen to this. Loyalty, dependability, reliability. Be honest with yourself. Are you loyal? Are you a loyal person? This is a very important fruit to me. I'm a very loyal person. Once I commit myself to someone, it is extremely hard to get me to be unfaithful to them. And even then, I'm not unfaithful. You might push me away, but I'll be in the background praying for you. This is very important to me because if I don't see faithfulness, they don't get into my inner circle of life. I'll put a wall between you and me. You won't even see that wall. I'll still love you. I'll still be kind to you. I'll still give you prayer. I'll still give you counseling. I'll still love you. But I won't trust you. Trust is earned. You got to show me I can trust you. You got to show me that you're loyal. You got to show me that you're dependent. You got to show me that you're reliable. This is important. You get a job, you got to be loyal, right? You can't work at Burger King and tell McDonald's all their secrets. You can't be told to come in at 8 o'clock to make the French fries and get there at 11. That's not dependability, right? You can't tell your boss that you're going to help her after hours and not show up. You're not reliable. And you know what? People find this out about you, and you can excuse it all you want because you have an excuse that sounds good to you that you don't have to be loyal, dependable, or reliable. But what's really happening is the other person is listening to your excuse, and they're thinking, I ain't never going to call them for nothing. Then you ask the boss, how come I never get a promotion? Because you're not faithful with the little things that I've already asked you to do. I asked you to make French fries, and now you want to be the Burger King. You got to be reliable and loyal and dependable where you are right now. People are watching you. Your friends are watching you. Your family's watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. But most of all, God is watching you. Fellow Christians are watching you. People come to me all the time, Pastor, I want to do something in the church. But I watch everybody. I check them for faithfulness. And if I don't think that they're going to be faithful because they haven't been loyal, dependable, and reliable in the little things, I'm not going to give them anything big to do. I'm not. Matthew 5:37. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I swear it wasn't me. Oh, I promise I'll be there. The reason why you're so adamant about making those statements is because you know you're a liar. I know that's hard. But the truth is that you know that some people you got to swear to God that it wasn't you. Because you've done it so many times, they already think it was you before they accused you. I promise I'll be there this time. This time I promise. This time I promise. I swear this time I'll do it. Why do we do that? Because we let people down. Because we're not faithful, right? Or you wonder why people come up to you and they say, are you sure you're going to be there to pick me up? No, don't promise me. Just look, repeat it after me. What time is my plane coming? Repeat it. No, it's not 9 o'clock. That's your alarm set for 9 o'clock. No, I get here at 6. One more time. Tell me you're going to be there. Tell me you're going to be there. Yes, I'll be there. I promise, I swear. Right? Faithfulness. And then you're at the airport waiting. Trying to call this person and their phone shut off. What? Man, these people talk for hours on the phone. They talk for days. And now their phone, what? And then when they meet up with you, they say, my battery was dead. You talked my ear off 3 days ago for 5 hours with that battery. And now you can't even pick me up at the airport. Or they owe you money or something like that. And they always got money to buy something until they owe you money. I swear I'll pay you with my next paycheck. You said that 3 paychecks ago. Yeah, but I didn't get paid as much as I thought I was going to get paid. Fellow man, we give to him love and our patience and our goodness. and I'm just about done here. For ourselves, we have kindness and self-control, right? Self-control. And our result of this is, the result of this is joy, peace, and faithfulness. Faithfulness. What a wonderful word, faithfulness. I'm glad that I didn't wake up this morning and God said, you know what, I think I'm going to take a day off from being faithful. Boy, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? So in conclusion, I want to say this. Only God can grow spiritual fruits in us. Only God. Now listen, some of us want to do it on our own. Only God can grow spiritual fruits in us. We can't do it for ourselves. We can't. You're going to get those self-help books. They're not going to help you for very long. We must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior before God will grow spiritual fruit in us. Listen, you need Jesus. He says, follow me. God doesn't follow us. We need Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to get the benefits of being one of his children. Now, listen, having Jesus is not the same thing as being a good person. It's not the same thing as being kind, gentle, and joyful. That's not the same thing. Having Jesus means that you have a Savior that has saved you from your just punishment, separation from God for all of eternity. He'll save you from that. So yeah, you might be a good person sitting in the pew right now as you listen to this, but that doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. To be Christ-like, you must have the fruits.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.